Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Bible Study Series. I am Tia Wanda, and I am coming at you this evening. I'm going to bring this evening to you. I know it's been a while, but tonight I'm going to bring forward instruction on Christian freedom, stronger versus our weaker believers. I'm going to be talking about that tonight and bringing you some good wisdom, you know, God, from the Word of God. So I'll bring that to you tonight, along with a couple other things that I have in store for this evening, because I know it's been a while. But before I begin, I'd like to pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, giving you the honor and the glory, allowing us to come together and hear a word from you, that you guide every word and allow us to learn your wise counsel, asking that you pour into the hearts of those who are listening and wanting to know you and live according to your gospel. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity, that I may grow stronger to share what it is you've asked of us to do, to please you in every way as we carry on with our daily lives according to your word and your ways. In Christ Jesus we pray, amen. So let me begin with I'm first going to come to you with 1 Corinthians, and that's going to be chapter 8, and I'm going to read the first verse of chapter 8, and it's the instruction on Christian freedom. So this one is concerning food sacrifice to idols. Now, about food sacrifice to idols, we know that we all possess knowledge, but knowledge puffs up while love builds up. And two, those who think they know something do not yet know as they ought to know. Three, but whoever loves God is known by God. And I'm also going to read verse 9. Be careful, however, that the exercise of your right does not become a stumbling block to the weak. And 10, for if someone with a weak conscience sees you with all your knowledge eating in an idol's temple, won't that person be emboldened to eat what is sacrificed to idols? And 11, so to this weak brother or sister for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. So when you sin, verse 12, when you sin against them in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. And more in depth, I'm going to read verse, and this is, chapter 8, 1 through 3. I'm going to read more in meaning. So love is more important than knowledge. Knowledge can make us look good and feel important, but we can all too easily develop an arrogant, know-it-all attitude. Many people with strong opinions are unwilling to listen to and learn from God and others. We can obtain God's knowledge only by loving Him. And so let's look at James 3:17. I'm going to find James 3:17. Let's see. James 3:17 says, let's see, what was that? James chapter 3:17. And 18, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first all of prayer, then peace, loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. 18, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So that is chapter 3, James. That was James, coming from James chapter 3, 17 and 18. And we can know and be known by God only when we model by showing love. So let's look at 1 John. I'm going to take a look at 1 John. And I'm coming from chapter 4, 1 John. Chapter 4, I know the last episode we learned about the race, running the race. So this week, we'll learn about, as we learn, run that race, we'll learn about the Christian, Christian freedom, and how we can avoid That you have some believers who are a lot more stronger, and they get so, how do you say it? They get so, prideful, and they have this prideful attitude, but learning, how to overcome that and how to show love to those who are weaker than the stronger ones. So John, 1 John 4, we're going to read 4 John 4, and that's going to be 7 and 8. God's love and ours. Dear friend, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And 8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And 9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And 10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that, let's continue, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And I'm going to also read, we're going to see 8:10. Let's see, 8:10. Let's see. Well, this one, more in meaning is what I'm reading. Christian freedom does not mean that anything goes. It means that our salvation is not determined by good deeds or legalistic rules, but by the free gift of God. And Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, you can read there, Christian freedom then is inseparably tied to Christian responsibility. New believers are often very sensitive to what is right or wrong, what they should or shouldn't do. Some actions may be perfectly all right for us to do, but may harm a Christian brother or sister who is still young in faith and learning what the Christian life is all about. We must be careful not to offend a sensitive or younger Christian, or by our example to cause him or her to sin. When we love others, our freedom should be less important to us than strengthening the faith of a brother or sister in Christ. Isn't that amazing? I like that. So, stronger, weaker believers. So, advice to stronger believers. Don't be proud of your maturity. Don't flaunt your freedom. Act in love so you do not cause a weaker believer to stumble. And weaker believers, although you may not feel the same freedom in some areas as in others, take your time, pray to God, but do not force others to adhere to your stipulations. You would hinder other believers by making up rules and standards for how everyone ought to behave. Make sure your convictions are based on God's word and are not simply an expression of your opinions. And this is going out to pastors and leaders. Teach correctly from God's word, helping Christians to understand what is right and wrong in God's eye, and to see that they can have varied opinions on other issues and still be unified. Don't allow potential problems to get out of hand, causing splits and divisions. So, Paul advises those who are more mature in faith about how they must care about their brothers and sisters in Christ who have more tender consciences. Those weaker brothers and sisters are advised concerning their growth, and pastors and leaders are instructed on how to deal with conflicts that easily could arise between these groups. So that's very good counsel from Paul. From Paul, I like that. I like that. I like that. So, I want to read again. I'm going to read again more in depth. I'm going to read this over. So, Christian freedom does not mean, again, that anything goes. It means that our salvation is not determined by good deeds or legalistic rules, but by the free gift of God. Ephesians, you can look that up. Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Wait a minute. I'm going to look that up. I'm going to take time and look that up. I know I have a, not long, but I want to read this. I want to read this one. So Ephesians, we're going to go with 2. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Let me get it here. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Hey, right where I go. All right, Ephesians. I'm right there. I'm right here. There you go. It's like hiding. This is a really good, I like this one. I'm going to bring it this. Ephesians 8. What was it? Ephesians verses 2, 8 and 9. Okay. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, so, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from your, you know, this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. And 9, not by works, so that no one can boast. And 10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So, once again, it means that our salvation is not determined by good deeds or legalistic rules, but by the free gift of God, which says right there in what I just read, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gifts of God. And 9, not by works, so that no one can boast. And 10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So, Christian freedom then is inseparably tied to Christian responsibility. New believers are often very sensitive to what is right or wrong, what they should or shouldn't do. Some actions may be perfectly all right for us to do, but may harm a Christian brother or sister who is still young in the faith and learning what the Christian life is all about. We must be careful not to offend a sensitive or younger Christian, or by our example to cause him or her to sin. When we love others, our freedom should be less important to us than strengthening the faith of a brother or sister in Christ. So I like that. Our freedom should be less important to us than strengthening the faith of a brother or sister in Christ. So I like that. I like that one. So that tells us, our Christian freedom, how we should behave within our Christian freedom. And I like that. It gives us clear details on how we should behave and how we should, behave when being in, you know, that being in the around our weaker brothers and sisters, you know, believers, how we should behave being around them. And, you know, not causing them to stumble or causing them to sin, because some of us can get so boastful and prideful and come at them wrong and can cause them, hey, I don't want to listen to them, or I don't want to do this. Or, you know, you could come across to a, newer believer, brother or sister, you know, new believer in Christ, come to them and we could, you know, be prideful, because some people, you know, or some leaders or pastors, not all, you know, can come to them, or another person can come to them and be prideful, you know, and you can turn that brother, that new believer, brother or sister away, and they may not, you know, want to listen anymore. So we have to come to them, go in them in love, come to them in love. And we have to share God's word in love. And we have to be careful that we don't cause them, that our actions don't cause them to stumble. So all of us make, so now I want to discuss making choices on sensitive issues. So all of us make hundreds of choices every day. Most choices have no right or wrong attached to them, like what you wear or what you eat. But we always face decisions that carry a little more weight. We don't want to do wrong, and we don't want to cause others to do wrong. So how can we make such decisions? So if I choose one course of action, like does it help my witness? If I choose something, does it help my witness for Christ? Am I motivated by a desire to help others know Christ? Does it help me do my best? Is it against a specific command in scripture and would thus cause me to sin? Is it the best and most beneficial course of action? Am I acting lovingly or selfishly? Does it glorify God? Will it cause someone else to sin? So, all of us make hundreds of decisions every day. And, we want to, when we make those decisions, we want to, number one, does it help my witness for Christ? And we can look at that. Let's look at that at 9. 1 Corinthians, let's look at verse 9, 19 through 20. Let's see, 19. So this one is Paul's use of his freedom. So we're going to look at verse 9, 19 through 22. And this one is, does it help my witness for Christ? Chapter 19, verses 19 through 22. And this is Paul's use of his freedom. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. 20, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. 21, to those, which I read 20 and 21, to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. 22, to the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that all possible means I might save some. 23, I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. And that's coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 20. I'm supposed to read through 22, but I read 23. So, all of us make hundreds of choices again every day. And when we make those choices, am I motivated by a desire to help others know Christ? Let's also look at, that same chapter, verse 23. I've read that one. 23, I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. And let's look at 10, verse 33. 10:33 is, even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many. So that, For I am not seeking my own good. I think I went too far. 10:33. Yes, I did. This is 1 Corinthians 10:33. All right, here we go. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. So I like that. So, like I said again, all of us make hundreds of choices every day. And when we make those choices, Does it help me be or do my best? And let's look at 9:25. Verses 9:25. This is getting good. Verses 9:25. And it says, 9:25, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And that was 9:25. We talked about that, you know, in the race, the previous episodes, we talked about that race. So 9:25, everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. I like that. So we have to have that self-discipline. The need for self-discipline is what this verse is talking about. So, like I said again, all of us make hundreds of choices every day. And when we make our choices, let's see, is it against a specific command in scripture? And would it cause me to sin? And let's look at chapter 10, verse 12. So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. I like that. So that was 10:12. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. And more in meaning, let me see, 10, let me see, 10:9. Let's see, I don't have a more in depth than they really. So Paul warned the Corinthian believers not to grumble. From what we have to what we don't have. No. But anyway, I don't see, let's see. I don't see, they don't have a more in depth on that one. But anyway, that was 10. I like that one. 10:12. I like that one. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. That's really good. That's powerful. I like that. So again, all of us make hundreds of choices every day. And when we make those choices, is it the best and most beneficial course of action? Let's look at verse 10. We'll look at 10:23 again. And 23 is I have, that's 10:23. I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. I like that. The believer's freedom. And 24, I'm going to read it. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. You hear that? Let me read that again. 24. I'm going to go from 23. I have the right to do anything you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. 24. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. I like that one. I like that one. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful how we treat our brothers and sisters. We got to be careful. You know, just because you think that you're right about something, and you may think that you're coming across to someone in a way, and you know, in a way, and you might think it might be right or it sound right to you, but you got to be careful, you know, how you treat others and how you speak to others. You have to be careful, because just because you have that right to do it doesn't always mean it's right, you know. So more in depth, chapter 10:23. And sometimes it's hard to know when to defer to weaker believers, but Paul gives a simple rule of thumb to help in making the decision. We should be sensitive and gracious. The goal here is not general hypersensitivity that worries about what others might possibly think. Rather, it is a genuine awareness of others and a willingness to limit what we do when there is a real possibility of misunderstanding and offense. Some actions may not be wrong, but they might not be in the best interest of others. We have freedom in Christ, but we shouldn't exercise our freedom at the cost of hurting a Christian brother or sister. We are not to consider only ourselves, but we must also consider the needs and perspectives of others. For more on the proper attitude toward a weaker believer, let's look at, it tells you to look at 8:10 through 13 and then Romans 14. Let me see what it says. 8:10 through 13. This is getting good. 10 and 13. Let's see. It says 13, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. And that is true. That is true. Because I've been there. So we have to remember, all of us make hundreds of choices every day. And when we are making those choices, am I thinking only of myself, or do I truly care about the other person? That is one that we need to really look at. Am I acting lovingly or selfishly? Does it glorify God? Will it cause someone else to sin? Let's look at, am I thinking only of myself, or do I truly care about the other persons? Let's look at 10 and 24, what it says in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 24, verse 24. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. So don't just look at what you think is right or what you think is appropriate. You know, you got to think about the other person, you know, as well, not just yourself. So, because you don't know, everybody don't think the same, everybody don't, you know, talk the same or feel the same. So you always got to think about the other person. So again, all of us make hundreds of choices every day. And when we make those choices, am I acting lovingly or selfishly? Let's look at 10, 28 through 30, 31. So 28, but if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it, both for the sake of the one who told you and for the sake of conscience. And 29, I am referring to the other person's conscience, not yours. For why is my freedom being judged by another's conscience? And 30, if I take part in yours, for why is my freedom? Let's see, if I partake in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. And 32, I'm going ahead. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greek, or the church of God. And 33, even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. And follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. I like that. That whole thing is just really good. It's good. And that's 1 Corinthians. If you want to go back and read that on your own, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is very good. So again, all of us make hundreds of choices every day. And when we make those choices, does it glorify God? Let's look at 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Does it glorify God what you do? So let's continue. This is our last one. Again, as I said, all of us make hundreds of choices every day. And when we make those choices, will it cause someone else to sin? 10:32. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greek, or the church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. I like that. I like that.